is go.
Pegasus is go.
PTC is go.
Copy, is go.
Houston flight is go.
Polycom.
STM is go.
Safety comp is go.
STE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. It is Friday night. It's also Joe Biden's special day, April Fool's Day. Welcome to it.
Boy,
hello,
is
Diane.
That true.
Oh,
boy,
man.
That 100% true.
It's either April Fool's Day or Fossil Fool's Day.
Maybe it's a combination of both.
I think so.
I think so, too.
Hey, welcome to it, folks. We're glad you're along with us for the ride tonight. We've got a lot of topics to cover tonight. But before we get into any of that, got a special programming note. We brought this up on the Tuesday night show. We need to bring it up again. We will not be here on Tuesday because Diane is shopping with Ivanka Trump.
Oh, yeah, right. I have a political meeting to go to.
Some people call that a political meeting. I don't know. I've never been shopping with her. I wouldn't know.
No, I've never been shopping with Ivanka, Melania, Donald. Nope. Just because I don't live that far away doesn't mean I, you know, hobnob with them. Although I'd like to.
You know, it is April Fool's Day. You could have just gone along with it.
Nah. The way, you know, everything is nowadays, even April Fool's Day isn't funny anymore.
You know, if I ever had the chance, at least at this point, to hobnob with Donald Trump, not that it would ever happen, but if I did, I think it would be an absolute disaster because I would be asking him every 5 minutes, are you going to run in 24?
Well, I kind of think we all know the answer by now, and that answer is he probably will be. I just hope he doesn't listen to the people he listened to, you know, in
right.
2020. I hope, and I've got my fingers crossed, and I'm sort of keeping track of it across the United States where it's leaning. I really hope he picks Ron DeSantis, our great Florida governor. Governor of the free, always has been free state of Florida.
I think it would be absolutely foolish not to.
Yeah. If by some chance he DeSantis said, no, I'm going to, you know, wait, you know, a little bit longer, then I hope he picks Kristi Noem.
I'll tell you what, I think if he picked up the phone, Trump, that is, I think if he picked up the phone, gave Ron DeSantis a call, I don't think DeSantis would turn him down. And I'll tell you why. You know, he's a former Navy SEAL. He's a JAG officer.
Mm-hmm.
He has spent his life in the service of this country. And if
yes.
the future president of the United States calls him up and said, would you be my running mate? I don't think he'd turn it down. I mean, that's service to your country.
I would think so, but remember, it all depends on how his wife is doing. She is right now beating breast cancer. She's cancer-free at the moment. But with cancer, as we all know, you never know.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, you can be
cancer-free for years and years and years, and then out of nowhere, sometimes it'll come back. Sometimes it won't. Exactly. You know,
sometimes it won't.
You know, so I think his attitude about service to country. I think if Trump called him up and said, "Hey, I need a running mate," I think DeSantis would say, "Yes, sir."
Yeah. Yeah. If we're what we're keeping sort of an eye on down here as we get nearer to November, if Ron and Casey make any visits to Mar-a-Lago.
You know, that would be a good indicator.
Yeah.
That would be a good indicator. I mean,
and how often the visits were.
You may not hobnob with the Trumps, but if they got the call and said, "Hey, come on down and spend the weekend," I'll bet you they'd go hobnobbing.
That's absolutely, absolutely. And I'll make sure, you know, I've been invited to two Mar-a-Lago events so far. But as some of our viewers know, due to my being hit by a car and in a long recovery, I wasn't able to go. But now that I'm almost 100% better, next invitation, I will go.
Yeah, but I got a word of warning for you. In the lead up to it, do not go for another bike ride. I'm just saying.
I know. That's how I got hit by a car, guys.
She got hit on the day of a SpaceX launch
that we were covering.
Yeah, and I kept trying to get a hold of her. The launch is coming up in like 30 minutes. Where are you? And, you know, nothing. It's 10 minutes to launch. Nothing. You know, and then finally, about 3 minutes before launch time, Diane calls me. "I got hit by a car. I feel like crap." And I'm like, "Okay, but the launch is coming up, so I'll talk to you later."
Long road recovery back. Still not in my spike heels. That'll be the final thing. But next Mar-a-Lago invitation, I will take.
All right. And I expect you, when you go, I expect you to secure Donald Trump for an interview on this show.
You don't think I would try that?
I mean, look, if he wants to talk to people that will ask him real questions, mm-hmm. and you know, talk about real issues, then he would come on our show.
Absolutely. We'll try.
We'll see what happens. All right. So, like I said, we got a bunch of stuff to cover tonight. Of course, first of all, the new happenings in Ukraine. It's been kind of an interesting last few days since we last got together on Tuesday night, because mm-hmm. it looks like Ukraine may, and it's may, have gone on the offensive and actually, with helicopters, crossed over the border into Russia and did a little operation.
Yeah, taking out an oil factory, oil plant, storage facility. But you know what? If they did do it, kudos to them, because right now the whole war has been, you know, orchestrated by Vladimir Putin. You do what I allow you to do. You cannot do anything else. He never expected to come up with a force like Zelensky.
No.
Never expected it. And you want to know something? All the people on Facebook, the misinformed, totally clueless people, "Oh, he's just an actor acting as president." Well, you know what? One of America's greatest presidents, Ronald Reagan, was an actor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Don't judge the man by what he did before he became president of Ukraine. Judge him by his actions now.
Now,
and I'm telling you, he's a real leader, something the world is in desperate need of.
Yeah, he certainly seems to be the real deal. Now, here's the thing. Ukraine says, no, it wasn't us. They're calling it a false flag. operation. In other words, what Ukraine is saying is, no, Russia probably lit that thing on fire on their own just so they could blame something on us. But they didn't flat out deny that they had something to do with it, Ukraine, that is. And Russia, Putin's response to this, I found amusing. He got all bent out of shape. How dare Ukraine cross our border and bomb something inside of Russia? And I'm thinking, really? Well, how dare you cross the border and bomb the hell out of Ukraine?
Yeah. How dare you cross the border and bomb a children's and maternity hospital, killing pregnant women, children, and newborn babies? You know, Putin needs to go in no uncertain terms. But the best way for him to go is if the Russian people themselves rise up against him.
Right.
That would be an action that would see a whole shift in world power, would bring Russia and the Russians who really want it back into the Western fold, and it would cause a great schism between Russia and China, which is also to the West's benefit.
It's going to be interesting, but I think for that to happen, it's a long road. I don't think that's going to be something that happens quickly.
I don't think it'll happen quickly, but you know what? More and more Russian people, right now it's over 4 million Russian people have been arrested for protesting against Putin. And some of the generals are not happy with what's going on. Many of the soldiers are not. They thought they were going on exercises, not to kill innocent civilians. And a group of oligarchs want Putin out.
It's going to be a fascinating situation as this thing rolls on, because according to Zelensky, Ukraine isn't going to give up an inch.
Correct. Absolutely correct. And Brett Baer just did the interview with him that's been promoted for a day or so now, and he actually said, we're not giving up anything. And why should they? They were an independent country. In fact, they even want Crimea back.
Well, can you blame them?
No.
You know, I mean, at this point, Zelensky said, look, we need missiles, we need the drones, and we need airplanes. He said, now, I understand if you can't give us U.S. airplanes, but give us the Russian MiGs. You know, and let us do what we have to do.
Biden and crew, including those in NATO, have been saying for a couple of weeks now, we're sending this, this, and this. So far, the Ukrainians have received nothing.
Yeah, or something's
wrong. Basically what amounts to nothing, some javelins here and there, whatever. But the things that were promised to them still have not reached Ukraine. What's taking so long? Oh, wait. Putin might divulge what he knows on the Bidens.
You think that might be it? Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of know that might be it.
You know, Zelensky's right. You know, Ukraine would actually be an asset to NATO. Okay, now NATO says no, we don't want the Ukraine as part of NATO. But right now, if Ukraine was part of NATO, that'd be the ballsiest part of NATO.
Yeah, the reason they don't want Ukraine as part of NATO is they're afraid of Putin. Everybody is afraid of Vladimir Putin. You got this short little guy. He's not a big man, folks. You know, he's one with a Napoleon complex. You've got this, you know, average guy, average everything type of guy dictating to powerful nations what they can and cannot do, what they can and cannot say, where their lines are going to be. You're not getting NATO. Well, NATO wants to be part of Europe. And I got news for you. The European people want Ukraine.
They do.
Because that also adds another buffer between them and Russia.
Right. And if Ukraine falls, There's nothing between them and Russia.
Exactly. Now, today, very interesting, the former Soviet Republic of Georgia has sided with the West, and they are joining the sanctions against Russia. That must really stick in Putin's craw.
Well, you know it is, because Putin is now threatening to cut off, gas and oil to Europe. Europe doesn't behave itself.
You know what? If Biden had even 1 ounce of a working brain cell, and if he'd stopped listening to that puppet master Obama, what he would do is take advantage of that, start up our oil again, Keystone, whatever else, start drilling, start everything, fracking, start it all again, and we not only would become energy independent, but we then could be Europe's supplier of oil and natural gas, and the hell with Russia. That would also hurt them economically big time.
Oh, it would be devastating to them big time. And if you think about it, all Biden has to do is lay off the heavy-handed, overly burdensome regulations, tell the oil companies in this country, start poking holes and pulling oil up to the surface and natural gas up to the surface, and let's get on with it. You know, that's all it would take.
And what people forget, oil is one of the easiest replenishable resources because oil is decaying matter. And on Earth, things decay constantly. So you're actually replenishing something you might have, you know, drilled out 20 years ago. It's not a, we only have this much oil that we can get out of the earth. No, there's more than you think there is.
Well, if we pumped out every barrel of oil in the United States right now, if we pumped it all out, okay, we could supply ourselves and Europe with oil for the next 100 years.
Exactly. And what Biden's doing by opening the reserves, and I believe it's over 1 million barrels a day up until the 2022 midterms, that's what it's all about for him. He's going to, you know, try to lower the gas prices by running down our reserves, which is very dangerous because oil goes to the military. It goes for natural disasters. Remember, we're coming up on hurricane tornado season and all that. The man is doing everything in his power to destroy America. And to me, just tapping into our reserves in this environment that we're now living in, with a war overseas and you know, our economy not doing well, for him not to reopen Keystone, not to drill baby drill, I think that's paramount to aiding and abetting the enemy.
Well, I don't argue with that one bit, but let's take it, you know, since you brought up the oil reserves, let's take a quick look at that. Biden's talking about 1 million barrels a day for the next 6 months, right? And like you said, that takes us right up to the 2022 midterm election. But here's the deal. Okay, 1 million barrels a day, right?
Right.
The U.S. goes through 19.8 million barrels per day.
Right.
So 1 million barrels a day is not going to make a dent in the price of oil in this country. It's just not. That's thing one. Thing two is, if he goes the full 6 months at 1 million barrels a day, he depletes our oil reserve by a full one third. Okay.
Correct.
Now, here's the deal. At some point, you got to replenish it. Now, Donald Trump, when he was still the president, he wanted to completely fill the oil reserve when oil was trading at something like $24, $25 a barrel, which is dirt cheap.
Right.
Okay. So if you release a full third of our oil reserves now, you're going to have to fill it up later at $3, $4, maybe $5 a gallon at the pump, or roughly anywhere from $170 to $200 a barrel. Okay. And when Trump wanted to do that at $24, $25 a barrel, Chuck Schumer stopped it.
Right. Exactly.
So, you know, this not only is, you know, this releasing a million barrels a day not going to help the price at the pump. It's not going to help with the price of heating or cooling in your homes. It's going to deplete our oil reserves, and it's going to cost a freaking fortune to put it back in there down the road.
Correct.
Stupid.
Correct. You cannot deplete our oil resources. It is the direct opposite of what this country needs. Plus, it is a national security issue. And if you're not going to take our country's security, national security, into account, you shouldn't be sitting in the White House.
It absolutely
should not be.
It puts us in a horrible position.
Yes, it does.
As a nation. And, you know, this is not what the oil reserve was meant for. Now, this would not be the first time that Biden has dipped into the oil reserve. Remember, he did this before the invasion when prices were getting so high. And the result of it was gas at the pump went down by about 3 cents for about 4 days.
Right.
And then it shot right back up.
Right. And you know what? I hate to tell Biden and his little puppet Obama, puppet master Obama, Putin is not the cause of our gas situation being the way it is. Joe Biden and the Democrats are the direct cause.
And what makes you say that? How do you know that?
Because I have a working brain cell.
I can tell you another way we know that.
How?
Well, because we found out today that people that live in border cities down in Texas, Arizona, California, they're driving over the border into Mexico to fill up their gas tanks at $2 a gallon cheaper than they can buy it in the U.S. Now, if this is the Putin price hike on gasoline, why isn't it affecting Mexico?
Because it's not. This is all, you know.
Exactly.
With COVID, we had the scamdemic, folks. Okay, you know, it's time everybody admits that we were had. Okay, this virus, this flu, this whatever you want to call it, would have run its course in a much shorter period of time if all those stupid restrictions that have been proven to have been useless were not put into place. And this is on this thing with the gas. This is on the same par as that. You place blame where you think people are going to believe the blame needs to be placed, but all you're diverting them from is the truth. Putin has nothing to do with our economy. Biden can sing that tune till the cows come home, but it's not true. Our economy was in trouble the day he sat at the Resolute desk and canceled out all the successful economic policies of Donald Trump.
You seem pretty sure of that.
I'm positive.
You know, positive. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this out.
Right.
You really don't. You know, inflation took hold literally the day Biden took office. Yes. And the price at the pump started going up the day Biden took office. And why? Because during the campaign from his basement, Biden kept telling everybody that he was going to put an end to the oil industry.
Yep. Well, and he was going to, the first EO he signed was the shutdown of the XL pipeline.
Yeah. Shutting that down and pulling the permit from the, well, he shut down the Keystone pipeline and pulled the permit from the XL.
Right. Which was the adjunct to the Keystone.
Right.
And everything has gone downhill since then. He's cut back on fracking. He's hurt the coal industry. He's pushing the ridiculous electric cars, which people cannot afford. The average electric car starts at about $56,000.
Well, God forbid.
You need electricity to run the electric power stations. So what are you accomplishing? Nothing.
Well, you know, that might be an issue.
Yeah, it might be.
You know, I mean, my car doesn't run on BS, and I don't think anybody else's does, unless they think the power to recharge their electric car comes from green energy.
It doesn't, folks. It's all a myth. What people did was they fell for the nonsense of the likes of AOC. That shows just how stupid a certain segment of our population is. They listen to AOC and Bernie Sanders.
I know.
There's like no comprehension there. I don't know where people bought into this crap or why.
Well, because they tell big lies, okay? Yeah. And the louder they tell the lie, the more often they tell the lie, the more gullible people are bound to adhere to the lie. It's just like calling it. I was just going to say, it's like calling it the Putin. Yeah, it's like calling it the Putin price hike. You keep telling the lie often enough, somebody's going to start believing it.
Yeah, the more you tell the lie, it does become the truth to many. And it's a very sad situation. It's almost like we're sitting here in this country. We were the world's leader. We saved the world twice, World War I, World War II. And now we're sitting back and we're doing nothing. The promises made to the Ukrainians have not been kept as far as the equipment. NATO is a bunch of cowards. And Vladimir Putin is sitting back in Moscow dictating how our side has to react to his aggression.
Right. It's crazy. Now, yesterday, when Biden was out there talking about, you know, releasing 1 million barrels a day out of the National Oil Reserve, he told people, and he told them very emphatically, that, quote, if your home is powered by safer, cheaper, cleaner electricity like solar or heat pumps, you can save about $500 a month on average.
Right.
Okay. Well, you know, some very astute people with, you know, two brain cells that they could rub together, they challenged him on that. And AP, that in case you don't know, stands for Associated Propaganda. They came out and they said, well, you know, Biden misspoke about the green energy savings. He said $500 a month, but what he really meant was $500 a year.
Right.
Okay, well, here's the deal. Okay, if Trump would have come out and made that mistake, they'd have given him 4 Pinocchios, accused him of spreading misinformation, and called him a bald-faced liar.
Right. Right. But because it's, you know, coming from the Biden side, everybody's quiet. And by the way, speaking of quiet, how much have you really heard about Hunter? Very little.
Very little.
Very few stations.
You know, let's save that. Let's take the bottom of the hour break and let's come back and talk about Hunter Biden and the abject silence surrounding him.
Yes. Okay.
All right. Folks, stay with us. We've got another segment to go tonight on Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's long-time Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at The National Patriot, Diane Sorey at The Patriot Factor. If you miss any part of tonight's show, go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, click the podcast button, and there we shall be.
Yes, we are there.
Okay, right before we took the break, you happened to bring up Hunter Biden and the relative radio silence from the mainstream media regarding that. And one of the more interesting things today is the news that Jen Psaki is leaving the White House press corps to go over and be a talking head on MSNBC. I find it curious, Diane, and I don't know if you do, but I find it curious that she's bailing out of the White House press room just as this Hunter Biden thing starts to heat up.
Yeah, I wonder if she knows anything about it. Well, I don't wonder. I'm guessing she does know something, and they're trying to distance her. But to send her to, you know, MSNBC, how low can you go?
Well, it could go a little lower. It could go to CNN.
I don't know which is lower, really.
I don't know. They trade off every week. But, you know, here's what you got to consider in all of this. You know, the Hunter Biden laptop story broke 2 years ago. Now, not in the mainstream media, it didn't.
No.
But everybody else. Yeah, everybody else, including us, we knew what was going on there. And, you know, Hunter took his laptop to get it repaired, forgot to pick it up. It wound up with, at one point, with Rudy Giuliani. Rudy Giuliani told everybody what was on it. And the mainstream media immediately came out and said it's Russian disinformation and Giuliani is an agent of Russia and he's spreading Russian disinformation because Donald Trump told him to. And Donald Trump is buddy-buddy with Putin and is also a Russian agent. That was the whole thing, right?
Right, right.
Well, you know, for 2 years, you know, or a year and however many months, couple of months since Biden's been in office, Jen Psaki has stood at that podium in the White House briefing room, vehemently denying that there was any truth to the whole Hunter Biden laptop story, vehemently defending Joe Biden when Biden says, I don't know anything about Hunter Biden's business dealings. And Psaki also has been calling it for the last year and 2 or 3 months, disinformation put out there by the Russians.
No, it's not disinformation. And what I find very interesting, there was very recently a, since this story broke and the ones that, you know, lag behind are finally admitting, yeah, there is something to it. Rasmussen did a poll and they found that 65% of voters believe it is likely that Joe Biden himself was involved in and may have profited from Hunter's overseas business deals, and that 48% say it is very likely that he did so.
I'd say it's 100% sure that he profited
from
Hunter's
deals. Well, you're always going to have, no, you can never say 100% because you're always going to have the diehard Biden is, you know, the best thing since sliced bread group.
Oh,
They do exist.
No, I'm not saying 100% of the people. I'm saying I am 100% sure.
Oh, right. So am I. We wrote about this a year ago.
Everything that's
coming out now, we wrote about.
I mean, who else would the big guy be?
Exactly.
All right, we know, and here's the thing. The proverbial spam is about to hit the fan, okay? Hunter is going to wind up being indicted for tax fraud on all this, and when that happens, goes to court, he's going to have to account for all the money, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, guess who's going to pop up as being recipients of that? Joe Biden and his Uncle Jim.
Don't be so sure that the stuff doesn't get cleaned out.
Well, they can't clean it out, and I'll tell you why. Too many people on the right side of the aisle have copies of the hard drive.
Yeah, that part's true. But you know what? They might have copies of the hard drive, but they're copies. They're not the original. Copies can be doctored.
Well,
they
but
could be forged.
Forensic experts
can be the excuse that they're going to use.
Right. Forensic experts can tell. Okay.
Right.
And but here's the interesting deal. Now that you brought that up, the FBI. Cybersecurity Second in Command has no idea where the actual laptop is.
Yeah, they lost it. Isn't that convenient?
Now, that laptop was turned over to cybersecurity in the FBI.
Right.
That was 2 years ago. Okay. Now, the Second in Command, whose name I cannot tell you right now, but the Second in Command, he was in a House hearing a couple of days ago. And he was being questioned directly by Diane, one of your Florida House members, Mr. Gates.
Oh, yeah.
And nice. Matt Gates says, where's the laptop now? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean you don't know? Well, it's not in my purview. He says, well, you're the second in command at FBI cybersecurity. Why wouldn't you know? And this guy was singing and dancing. He was trying to get around it. He wouldn't answer the question, tried to put it off. Gates had him nailed to the door.
Mm-hmm. It probably, I would assume, the original laptop has been destroyed.
That would be my guess, too. But Matt Gates, in something that would have been worthy of Trey Gowdy, something that would have been worthy of Jim Jordan, for instance, he held up a memory stick of sorts, and he said, I would like unanimous consent to enter this into the official record of these hearings. This is the entire contents of Hunter Biden's laptop.
Right, but without the physical laptop itself, come on, you know as well as I do, they're going to claim all sorts of things. This is doctored, this is forged, this is taken out of context. They're going to say a whole bunch of things. That original laptop needs to be found if it hasn't been destroyed. Maybe they should start by looking in Hillary's closet.
Well, Jabba the Nadler was in charge of that hearing, and Jabba the Nadler said, no, we're not going to enter that into evidence. Not for the reason you just said, Diane, but because we have to think long and hard because there might be national security interests at stake here.
Yeah.
Well, that's the reason to enter it, you dumb idiot.
Exactly. And the White House, Joe Biden and crew, they are refusing to acknowledge even the legitimacy of Hunter Biden's business deals with Ukraine, Russia, and China while Joe Biden was vice president.
Yeah, come on. It's not a secret. Not anymore. It hasn't been a secret for over 2 years.
Exactly. It's been out there. We've been talking about it. Other people have been talking about it. And we've all been ignored. Oh, you're conspiratorists. You just don't like the Bidens. No. We can sense when lies are being told and deceit and, everything that goes along with it, corruption. I mean, here it is. Hunter Biden is an addict. I don't care what anyone says. I guarantee you he's still doing blow and whatever else.
Right. Right. I mean, Jabba the Nadler, he should have just said what he actually was thinking at the moment. And I can pretty well guarantee you what he was thinking because he had no idea Gates had that on him.
True.
Okay. And when Matt Gaetz held that up and wanted to put that in the record on unanimous consent, Nadler should have said, well, you've taken us by surprise here, and we need to consult with President Obama first.
Oh, God.
I mean, that's what he should have said because, Obama's pulling all the strings.
Well, we know that, but nobody in the Biden administration will admit to that. But everything Biden does has the stink of Obama about it.
It really does. And the laptop is no different. But I'm telling you, the spam's going to hit the fan on that thing in the next couple of months. Here's the good news. I expect that the Republicans, after January, 9 months from now, and I know 9 months is a long time, okay? But these things tend to get strung out quite a ways. 9 months from now, the Republicans are going to hold, I think, probably somewhere between a 60 and 70 seat advantage in the House. And those House Intel Committee hearings are going to have a much different tone to them than they have right now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's no question about that. But the thing is, we've got to get through those 9 months. That laptop has to be found. That is key evidence. That has to be found. And if it hasn't been destroyed, it is being hidden somewhere. And you know why it's being hidden? Because I bet Obama is in that laptop as well.
I guarantee you Obama's in the laptop. I guarantee you Hillary's in the laptop. Mm-hmm. I think the list goes on and on. I really do.
Yeah, this needs to be dealt with, post haste. But folks, it will drag out like political BS does. Nothing's going to get done while the Democrats are in control. And who knows, by the time we take back the House and the Senate, we'll probably have moved on to something else and this will become old news, which it shouldn't be.
Well,
it will be.
It won't be old news when the Republicans take control of the House. It'll be fresh news once again. But let me ask you a quick question, Diane. A question for which I do not expect anybody that you and I are going to talk to anytime soon to have the exact answer to. But I'm going to pose it rhetorically.
Okay.
What do you think the chances are that the actual hard drive, the real McCoy, the one from Hunter Biden's laptop is in the safe hands of Rudy Giuliani.
I was just going to say that.
I beat you to it.
He has it.
I beat you to it. How much you want to bet the hard drive in the laptop that the FBI suddenly can't find is a clone?
I absolutely 100% agree. I don't think Rudy ever let that original out of his possession.
I think down the road, I think when the Republicans have the majority in the House, that original hard drive, maybe not the laptop itself,
but the hard drive.
I think the original real McCoy Hunter Biden hard drive will suddenly reappear.
I think that was given to Rudy Giuliani, and the things that are around now, those were the clones made off the original, and he has it under lock and key somewhere.
Not to be
divulged until we are in control again.
I just have a sneaky suspicion.
It's very possible.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it's speculation. At this point, I don't want anybody to think that, you know, I know something that I don't know. It's pure speculation. But I would not be one bit surprised if Rudy has the hard drive.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised as well. But something that did surprise me today on a different topic, you know, Biden has called for the lifting of Title 42, the border policy involving illegals crossing here, you know, who are possibly and probably COVID infected.
Right.
Well, guess who today went out on a limb again and let Joe Biden have it?
Who?
Joe Manchin.
Ooh,
Biden a new one. And he called it a frightening decision, and he warned that extraordinary numbers of illegals will only get worse in the months ahead, and he will not go along with this.
Well, last year we had a record number of illegals crossing the border. So far this year, we're on target to wipe that record off the map. Right now, 17,000 illegal aliens every day are pouring across our southern border. And that is going to look like a pittance. Or I should say, right now, 7,000 a day are coming across. But what they're saying is that's going to be a pittance if this Title 42 gets taken away. It goes up to over 17,000 a day.
Well over half a million illegals flooding this country before the midterm elections, and they'll all be voting Democratic. Again, that's what this is all about. Biden and crew are putting national security, the health, safety, and welfare of the American people on the back burner in a quest to keep power. If that's not grounds for impeachment, I don't know what is.
You know what these illegals are being told when they get over here. You know, we being the government, we being the American taxpayer, but we being the government, we will fly you anywhere in this country you would like to settle down.
Exactly.
We will make sure that your housing is taken care of. You'll get a free education. You don't have to worry about health care. We'll even get you signed up for welfare. Money for nothing and chicks for free. And all you have to do is vote Democrat.
Yep. And they will do it every time. It is critical that voter IDs become mandatory in all 50 states. We have them here in Florida. When we go in and vote, we can't just say, oh, we're in the record book or whatever. We have to show a photo ID when we vote, and that with our addresses, and the addresses are matched against the master lists. That needs to be implemented in all 50 states.
The only reason not to do it is to promote cheating.
Correct.
I can't see any other reason not to do it.
Correct.
You know, and don't tell me. Don't you liberals dare, because I know you're listening to this show. Don't you dare tell me that voter ID equals voter suppression. That, oh, the poor minorities can't vote if we have to have show voter ID. I don't know if you've bothered to notice how many minorities in this country have a driver's license.
Right.
Okay? And those that don't, they can always get an official photo ID. In fact, the Republican Party, state by state by state, in red states, has said, look, we'll do voter IDs for free. We'll come to the people. They don't even have to come to us. We'll go out to the people, and we'll provide them with these for nothing. Oh, no. Right. Oh, no, that's voter suppression, we're told by the liberal Marxists. That's voter suppression. That's racist.
You know what? I'm sick of hearing about minorities. I'm sick of hearing about racism. I want to hear about America and Americanism and non-hyphenated Americans. I'm sick of this woke crap. I am so sick and tired of it all. We need voter ID. Minorities have to start assimilating and not deem themselves to be something special. Just because you're a minority, you're not entitled to anything that every other American, you know, has. You don't deserve more just because you're a minority.
How many minorities in this country have a checking account? How many minorities in this country have a charge card? How many minorities in this country have a driver's license? You know, the list of things you need an ID for goes on and on and on and on.
Banking, yeah.
But, yeah, don't tell me that minorities can't get an ID.
Yeah.
Sorry, not buying it.
You know what the problem is? When we started designating folks as minorities instead of Americans, we created this problem. Okay, you're here, you're living here, you're an American citizen. I don't care if you're pink, purple, you know, with green polka dots. You're no longer a minority. You are an American citizen. You don't deserve any more or any less than any other American citizen gets. The color of your skin is not entitlement.
No, it's not. And you know that a prime example of all of that is the voter law in Georgia, which was deemed by the liberal Marxists and the mainstream media propagandists as being 100% racist, when in fact, it's got nothing to do with race at all. In fact, the voter laws in Joe's home state of Delaware are much more restrictive than the new voter laws in the state of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear anybody talking about how bad Delaware is.
No, because that will bring up Joe Biden's past when he actually, as senator from Delaware, did some no-nos against black folks from Delaware.
Well, and he
voted some laws that didn't quite treat them right. You don't believe me, folks? Google it.
Yeah, look it up. Look it up. Do some homework over the weekend, you know?
Yeah.
It's very interesting the way this is all playing out. But, Diane, we've got one more thing that I really want to bring up, because this is something you know a little bit about because you have connections in the medical field.
Yeah.
Okay. Biden is now saying we're going to cap the price of insulin. Now, that on the surface seems like a pretty good deal, because there are a lot of people in this country that are diabetic and need insulin on a daily basis. Okay.
Right.
And the price of insulin, just like the price of gasoline and the price of groceries and, you know, everything else, has been going up and up and up and up, to the point that a lot of people simply can't afford their insulin anymore, which is very, very dangerous. So what's wrong with capping the price of insulin?
Okay, first of all, they want to cap it at about $25, which seems great on the surface. However, this gave Big Pharma the inn to increase monthly premiums.
So you're talking about the insurance companies?
Yeah. The insurance companies through Big Pharma, because remember, they're losing money on lowering the price of insulin. It's not as cheap as people think it is or it should be. $25 is a pretty fair price, but Big Pharma has to make it up. So how are they going to make up the deficit? They're going to work in cahoots with the insurance company to raise monthly premiums.
So now you tell me where I'm wrong here, because I'm sure that I'm wrong here somewhere.
Okay.
If you're going to save money, or if let's put it this way. If the cost of your insulin is going to be frozen, okay, it's not going to go up the way inflation is going up.
Right.
How is it that you're not saving money if the cost of your premiums go up instead of the cost of your insulin? You're still saving money, right? Am I wrong here?
Well, one cancels out the other, depending on how much someone's monthly payments are going to go up. Will it negate the lowering of the price of insulin to roughly $25, or will it help? There's so many insurance companies out there that you don't know what's going to go on.
Well, I guarantee you, I know what's going on.
You have no way of knowing at this point.
Well, let's say your insulin gets frozen at $25, right?
Yeah.
But your premium goes from whatever it is now, it raises up $120. Now, by my calculations, and again, I could be wrong because I'm not using Common Core math, but by my calculations, that means you're $90 worse off than you were before.
Right. And think of it this way. The average vial, the standard vial of insulin, used to cost between $175 and $300. You sink it down to $25, Big Pharma ain't happy. How are they going to make it up? Working with the insurance companies to raise premiums. It's a vicious circle, guys. What sounds good on the surface, when you dig deeper, is not good at all.
Let me ask you this, in the couple of minutes we have left, okay, is insulin, is it somehow really, really, really hard to manufacture, and do we have... Or is there any reason why we would have a terrible, terrible, terrible shortage of insulin? Or is insulin a fairly simple thing to manufacture and we should have more than we ever need?
There is different types of insulin, different strengths of insulin. It's really hard to say, you know, to that question. A type A diabetic who uses insulin, let's say, 3 to 4 times a day is quite different than, let's say, something a pre-diabetic patient would use. Insulin is not a one catch-all for all types of diabetes.
Right,
there's
I understand.
Different insulins.
Yeah, I understand that, but to me, insulin and the manufacturing of it, no matter what kind it is, really should be about as easy and as inexpensive as manufacturing aspirin. I mean, when you consider the number of people that use it, well, I know it's not. That's not the point. The point is it should be. Okay, so I just fail to understand why we're not just cranking out the insulin. It's not like an insulin pipeline got shut down, for God's sakes.
No, but remember, there is also insulin pumps, which work on a different type of insulin. What they basically tried to do was the out-of-pocket payment for diabetics who needed insulin would cap out at a maximum of $35 for 30 days of treatment, basically, or 25% of the negotiated price set by the drug companies and the insurers. You're dealing with three entities here: manufacturer, insurance, and then the person's out-of-pocket costs.
Right.
It's not the greatest thing what they did, because they're taking away the high cost from one end, but they're sticking you with it on another end.
Well, the easiest way I can put it, and we're really out of time here, but the easiest way I can put it is you're going to save money on your insulin, but you're going to bleed out on your insurance premiums.
Correct.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
Now, unless you're a Medicare or Medicaid patient, that would be handled differently, because anyone that's a Medicare provider has to accept the payment issued by Medicare.
Oh, they'll find a way to screw you on that, too.
There's no negotiations on that. If you're a Medicare provider, and this I know for facts from my husband's business, if you're a Medicare provider, something that might cost you $100, but Medicare will only pay you, let's say, $50, you have to accept that.
I understand that, but I'm just saying they're going to find a way to screw people on that, too. I mean, let's just be honest. But Diane, we are out of time.
Okay, and guys, we're not going to be back till next Friday.
So have a great week, folks. Say goodnight, Diane.
Good night, guys.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you next Friday.